welcome to the Pirates Podcast, to be named later, here on the DK Pittsburgh Sports Podcast Network. We're giving this another try after a false start to get going. He is Eddie Provident. I am Alex Stone. Eddie, welcome back.
When you have such a complicated setup like I do, it's either you get really great quality or it all fails miserably on you. And tonight was it all failed miserably on me kind of night. So
it was rusty. You weren't on the last 2 weeks.
I've been gone for 2 weeks, man. You tried to replace me with Justice, and then you tried to replace me with Jared. I mean,
yeah,
I don't blame you. I'm easily replaceable, but
who said that?
My wife.
Not the person you want to hear from. Great. Someone who's not easily replaceable in Pirates history. We're just diving head first into this
episode. Look at that. Hey, that's professional type stuff, though, man.
There we go. That's king of transitions. Andrew McCutchen is a pretty good baseball player, if you ask me.
He's pretty decent.
Yeah. And he is, at the time of recording this, 3 hits away from 2,000, and I'm going to have a big story on that for DA Pittsburgh Sports. Go read it whenever it comes out. But, Eddie, I just want to talk big picture here. Okay. As two people who have been fortunate enough to watch Andrew McCutchen's whole career, weren't journalists for the whole time. Like, I was in high school whenever he got his call up to the major leagues. This is someone who has an undeniable impact long-term on this Pirates organization. So I ask you, where does this guy rank all time? Because if like the top 2 or 3 are pretty non-negotiable.
Right.
It's Clemente, it's Wagner, it's Stargell. Is he in that top 5?
Kevin Young in there.
Yeah, close. But is he on the Mount Rushmore? Is he top 5? Is he top 10? Where is he?
See, I like that question better. Is he on the Mount Rushmore?
Is he the 4th guy?
I don't. So I'm torn here because there is the romantic loves baseball stories side of me that is always going to be tied to Andrew McCutchen because he was the face of the franchise when I got to see them for the first time in the playoffs. So, you know, do I vote with my heart or do I vote with my head that tells me that even though he didn't, you know, he left the Pirates unceremoniously, was not really universally loved here, but Barry Bonds had a hell of a career in Pittsburgh. Before he went to San Francisco, Dave Parker has to be in this conversation. And then, you know, you've got all of the guys from the, you know, 60s on back. There's a handful.
The Wainers, the Kiners, the Wagner.
I know that the stats aren't there, but just because of the home run, people are going to put Mazeroski's name out there. That's, again, I think it's a generation voting with their heart. Rather than their head, like I would be with McCutchen. For me personally, if I'm just saying the Eddie Provident Pirates Mount Rushmore, he's on there for me just because of what he meant to me growing up. Well, not growing up, but as a young, you know, late teens, early 20s fan, what Andrew McCutchen meant to me. I'd have to put him there, you know, just because of that. But if I'm looking at it numbers purely, I would probably go Dave Parker as number 4. That's just fair. Based on numbers.
Yeah. And there's one thing that would 100% cement Kutch as, you know, on that Mount Rushmore, and it's winning a ring.
Yep. 100%.
I mean, that's basically, he's kind of, if we're talking, you know, Pittsburgh sports pantheons, like who is the most beloved, I kind of look at him in the same way as someone like Cam Hayward, where Cam has been like an incredible Steeler throughout his entire career. He is, you know, a borderline Hall of Famer. He's done it all. He's done it the Pittsburgh way.
He's the embodiment of what the Steelers are. Yes.
Yes. And there's one knock that is keeping Cam out of, you know, putting him in the highest pantheon of Steelers, and it's he doesn't have a ring.
Yeah.
And that's not his fault. I mean, the dude's played well enough to to have one, but that's the one thing holding Kutch back from this discussion. So if I was to make the Mount Rushmore, like, there's no negotiation. Klemeny, Wagner, Stargell, probably in that order, is the top three. Yeah. And then is it Wehner? Is it Archie Vaughn? There's a couple guys that it could be. I could see it being Kutch by the time this is all said and done, because I don't think it all ends in 2023. He's said multiple times that he comes back. This wasn't the farewell tour. I don't see him ever leaving the Pirates again.
No, and honestly, like, I mean, everyone's got a sour taste in their mouth because of the month of May. Rightfully so, I guess. But let's remember, let's rewind this to the last time you and I had a conversation, and they were still, you know, a handful of games above 500. They were still in first place in the division. And I, you know, we both agreed on that last time, on the last episode that we were together. They're not as good as they were when they were, you know, what, at the peak of this whole run. But I don't think they are as bad as they've been in May either. Yeah. Right. And I also think, you know, we can get into discussions about who needs to be coming up from the minor leagues. We can do all this stuff. But the point is the building blocks are there. The foundation, I think, is there. And now it's adding the young guys, adding more talent to the roster. You know, maybe going out, if they're still in this at the deadline, which we can get into later, do they add more? Do they add in the offseason? These are all things that I think are going to be reasons why this team is going to take a next step next year and hopefully the year after. Barring catastrophic injuries, we've seen that this season. I don't think McCutcheon's going to want to miss that ride. You know, that was a lot of words to say. I think he's going to be back because this team has a bright future.
Yeah. I mean, one of the reasons why he chose now, or why he really wanted to come back now, was because he believed in the team. And I mean, we could say that the Pirates were, you know, they're punching above their weight class in April, but here we are in early June. They are 29 and 27. They are, at the time of recording, half game out of the division. They're not getting boat raced. No. Like, it's a good start. The win on Friday is a really good sign of, like, hey, there's talent here. They can come back and win games.
And again, it's another win that they faced some adversity. They were down 5-1.
Yeah.
Came back, and they had players that they needed to step up tonight or Friday night.
Yeah. So whenever it comes to Kutch, he needs the ring to get in that Mount Rushmore, I think. And that goes beyond him, you know, or what, you know, he has complete control over. But right now I have him, like, right on that fringe top five. Like, there is Wehner, there is Vaughn, there's, if you want to say Max Carey, but I don't think we've documented enough for Max Carey. But he's unbelievably safe top 10. And I think you have to also give Kutch a lot of bonus points in this discussion of, it's one thing to be Stargell and you are continuing on with Klemeny. And not to say that was obviously huge shoes to fill. Kutch came in whenever this organization was at its absolute lowest.
Yeah.
And led them to three straight playoff berths. That counts for a lot. He comes back, and the team that lost 100 games the last 2 years is competent again for 2+ months of the season.
Yep.
So that counts for a lot.
It counts for a lot. He's a big part of this franchise. We'll put it this way. You can't tell the story of the Pittsburgh Pirates without having a chapter in there about Andrew McCutcheon.
No. No. And that's why, even though he's not a fan of the round numbers and, you know, all the talks of him getting the 2000, the pageantry around it, it's why he's being celebrated for this hit that he's going to have sooner rather than later.
Yep.
We're going to take a quick break. Whenever we come back, we're going to talk about that horrible month of May.
Do we have to talk about the month of May?
Yeah, we do gotta talk about the month of May. Like that was it's sometimes hard to remind yourself, or at least it was for me, whenever I saw that team dip below 500 for a night. Like, this team entered the month with the best record in the National League and almost exited it with a losing record. Like, that was one of the worst months in the franchise's history in terms of winning percentage. They're kind of lucky that the NL Central, no one seems to like really have their act together. Not that you should really be looking at the standings this early in the season, but you know, it is what it is.
It helps.
It helps. It helps to make your point whenever you can punctuate it with they're a half game out of first place.
Yeah.
So they're tied in the loss column. That makes it a lot easier. But we've talked about how in April they played better than they actually were. I think everyone knew it. Nobody expected this team to be the best team in the National League the whole season and go on to win 110 games or whatever they were on pace for. And they're better than what we saw in May. Like, they're somewhere right in the middle. And my question, Eddie, is this middle Pirates, are they actually going to be in the middle, or are they going to be closer to one side or the other? And what is this team? Is this team good? Are they bad? Are they okay? Are they 500? Are they just above or below? Are they going to the World Series? Or are they getting the number one draft pick next year?
Because
we have seen going on now 2 months where we could believe any part of it.
I think what we have seen from this baseball team, all I can say is strap in for the rest of the season, because I don't think this is a situation where they end up a 500 baseball team and they find even water. I think that they're going to be a 500 baseball team, maybe a game or two above 500 right now, just because of how they started off. But I think the season is going to be an up and a down and an up and a down. I don't think there's going to be a level. They're not going to find level. I think it's just going to be up and down, and we're going to see some crazy, you know, lights out 6 or 7 game stretches where they look dominant. And then we're going to see some 5 or 6 game stretches where we're questioning if they know how to play baseball.
Yeah.
I just think that's how this team is built. They're young. I think that with guys like Santana and McCutchen, they're learning how to face adversity. And I would throw Keller in there too on the pitching rotation side. He has seemed to be a very consistent and very even player, for the most part,
which is kind of amazing whenever you consider where he was a couple years ago. Yeah.
So he's that constant in the pitching rotation. I think Bednar is that kind of person, but outside of those four names, they don't really have anybody that's a calming presence. And so they're a young team that's going to learn things the hard way. And I think that just means this is going to be a roller coaster of a baseball season.
Yeah. I mean, punctuate a point that you said there. I've had Hedges brought up as, you know, a guy that they lean back on to also. So just to throw another name out there.
And the pitching staff does seem to really respond to him. You can say what you want about his bat.
Oh, I
wouldn't say anything about his bat because he doesn't have one. But he seems to really know how to handle a pitching staff, and you got to give them credit where it's due. I'm not his biggest fan, but it's worth something.
Yeah, I get that. I think he could be a lot more useful if there was like a Henry Davis in that room for him to mentor, but that's neither here nor there. I look at this team as incredibly volatile. I'll also say that I think this team is a team that's going to, it has the potential to get better as the year goes on, because we are going to see Henry Davis sooner rather than later. We're going to see Quinn Priester at some point. O'Neill Cruz is going to get back. So it kind of comes down to, if this team is 500 in August, then it's just, what's it going to be? How is this season going to be dictated? Is it going to be you go on another stretch where you win 20 of 30 games, or are you going to lose, you know, 20 of 30? You know, and that's got to kind of, I think that's what it's ultimately going to come down to. I look at this team as somewhere between like 72 and 88 wins, and it's really going to come down to, like, do they have one more really great, put it all together stretch and, you know, that's why they get a wild card, or no, they just didn't have that in them. 70 something wins, step forward to next year. It's not the most exciting. I, again, will reiterate, I don't think this is the best roster of 26 players, 26 healthy players that they could be putting on the field at the moment. I don't think that's a very controversial opinion. And I think we're going to see Henry Davis sooner rather than later, and he's going to be one of those guys that moves the needle from one side to the other, or at least nudge it in that way.
Can we just give a quick shout out to the social media people for the Indianapolis Indians and the Altoona Curve?
That was, yeah.
That was, I got to give you some props there. Whoever you are, well played, well done. If you don't know, if you don't know what we're talking about, just go back and Twitter the last couple of days and see what they did. Just search Henry Davis's name or Andy Rodriguez's name or anything like that.
See, I thought the props were going to be going for me writing my Henry Davis piece, but okay, I see how it went. That was over 3,000 words, but you know, 140 characters is pretty good too.
Hey man, people don't hit 3,000 anymore.
We're making a big deal about the guy hitting 2,000.
Exactly. So there you go.
There we go.
Just shows you what kind of upper echelon Alex Stump is in.
We're going to take one more break. Whenever we come back, I had a pretty cool experience last week that I want to talk about. Welcome back to the Pirates Podcast, to be named later. Eddie, I'm not a natural podcaster like you. I'm not good.
Who said I was a natural podcaster? I'm sitting here on my phone because none of my stuff worked.
Yeah, well, you know. Yeah, no. My medium is writing. So this past Saturday, I was given an opportunity to go punch way above my, you know, my weight and do something that I'm incredibly ill-equipped to do. And I called a minor league baseball game with John Moses of the Altoona Curve. Yeah, that was an incredible experience. I was so in over my head for like an inning or two. Whenever I actually figured it out, and Moses, you know, he's the pro. He called me through and he got me through. I'm very happy with the end product. I don't know if I'll ever do it again, but I've done it. I can cross it off the bucket list.
So are you saying Greg Brown better?
No, I am not taking Greg Brown or Joe Block or anyone's spot.
Yes.
I did color. So I, Matt Capps and Neil Walker and Rock and Walk are all in the clear. I ask you though, because this was a big one for my, you know, journalistic baseball bucket list. You've covered Steelers games. You've done baseball podcasts. You've done a lot. What is still on the bucket list for you? Is there anything?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's the first. So I've done a lot with the Steelers, but I have never photographed a Steelers game on the field, like as a credentialed photographer. I was up in the press box as a reporter for the Steelers with DK and Chris Halleck. But I never got to, you know, be down on the field with my camera, which is, that's my thing.
Yeah. And check out Eddie's photography. Yeah, if you guys aren't familiar, like he is a shameless plug. And I'd say it even if he wasn't on here. Eddie's very talented.
The two that I got to knock off while working for DK was, the backyard brawl was a once in a lifetime experience. Being able to shoot that. I was down in the student section end zone when Devonshire scored the touchdown to win the game. That was, I don't know how to put that into words. Getting to shoot a Penguins game, I'm a hockey guy at heart. Like, hockey's always been my favorite sport. So getting a chance to shoot a Penguins game down at one of the photo holes on the ice, that was pretty cool. But yeah, getting to shoot a Steelers game, you know, at the stadium, that would be, I think that's the one that I haven't knocked off. And I would say this, Pirates too, Pirates or Steelers. I think both of them. I've been closer to the Steelers because of practices and everything. I haven't really had a chance to get in with the Pirates yet. But yeah, those two would be the big ones. Getting a regular season game with the Pirates or Steelers as a photographer would be absolutely bucket list material for me.
See, I don't know what else is really on the bucket list other than like concepts for stories. Like I've done some, you know, in-depth stories. I really love writing those. It's tough to do in season. And then in the off season, you don't have as much access. That's the great catch 22 of all of it. There's a couple things I want to do in like that side, you know, explore, experiment a little more. I think this catch story is actually a baby step towards some stuff that I would like to do. Go read that whenever it comes out. I'm going to shamelessly plug this one because I got a lot of good stuff from the guy that I said was not quite on Pittsburgh Pirates Mount Rushmore yet, but he could be whenever it's all said and done.
So my bucket list item for you to end this.
Yeah.
I want to read Alex Stumpf's feature article when the Pittsburgh Pirates win the World Series.
I'll start with covering a meaningful September game instead of looking at that clubhouse September 13th. I won't name who, but I looked at a waiver claim at the end of last year, a guy that it was like very clearly, oh boy, this guy isn't going to stick with the Pirates. It's like, what do I do here? What do I do? I got to make a story out of this. I don't know what to do. So I will settle for to start a September game where it's like, I can actually write about the game. The game actually matters.
Oh man. This was a fun one today, Alex. It was good to be back.
Good to have you back. And he's going to stay back. So you better subscribe and you know, where we find fine podcasts, you'll find this one too. For Eddie Provident, I'm Alex Stone. Thank you so much for listening. We'll talk again next week.